evening. Let's take a look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73, there are 28 verses. Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the musicians. Verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than hearts could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before them, or before thee. I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would invigorate us as we look into your word, that we may find precious truths for ourselves. And we pray, Lord, especially that these truths may be a buttress, be a shield, may be a strength in times of despair. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this evening, we won't consider the entire psalm, but we're just looking at verses 21 to 26. That will be our context with an exposition on especially on verse 26. Now, having read this entire psalm, we know that this psalmist, Asaph, he was a pretty discouraged guy. He was kind of sad here. Now, let me ask you, why was he upset? What was the thing that made him really upset? What was it? Jealousy. Jealousy of whom? Other people are rich, but who are these people? They are wicked, huh? They are wicked. He was grieved, and we see that he was tempted to be like the wicked, right? Now, what do the wicked say, right? What do they do? Well, in verse 8, we know that they are corrupt. They speak wickedly. They speak loftily, right? They're proud. And in verse 9, this is a poetic way of saying they spit against God. Their mouths, right? They set their mouth against the heaven. Now, what are the things that they say, right? In verse 11, they know they're doing wicked things, but what do they say? God doesn't know. How does he know? Right? Is God really all that high? Is he all that mighty? Right? And that's why they continue to do wicked things, because what's wrong with their conscience? Their conscience is corrupt. They don't acknowledge God, which is why they have a lack of integrity. Right? So, the psalmist was really tempted to be like that. You know, sometimes we are Christians, you know, we say, why do I have this conscience that tells me right from wrong? I wish I could just be as wicked as everyone and do what they can do, right? And that's what the psalmist was really wanting to do. But in verse 15, he says, if I say, I will speak thus, if I am like them, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I'm like that, right, I am against God's people. I would not be part of God's people, right? So that's what the psalmist was saying. So he was so troubled. Imagine, you're like that person, okay? I mean, come on, who doesn't have jealousy here? We all do, right? We wish for things. We wish we had things that we didn't have. And we see people doing things, obtaining those things, and we wish we could be like them. On the other hand, we don't wish to be like them. You know, being a Christian is tough. It's like Paul. What do you say in Romans 7? In Romans 7, he says, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. So he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. He was a man that was rubbed to and fro between his new nature and his old nature, which is why he was so troubled, this guy Asaph, that we see in verse 22. Well, in 21 he says, oh, my heart is grieved, pricked in my reins and my inner being, right? I was so foolish, I was ignorant. And what did he behave like? Like an animal, right? He behaved like an animal, right? He was in despair. Now this describes, right, this condition that sometimes Christians can go through, can experience, right? Anyone can, and that is the feeling of despair. But he realized in verse 22 that he trusted in God, that he was upheld by God. He was confident that God would guide him. He was confident that, you know, his problem would be solved. He knew that even though he was weak, God ultimately was strong. You know, for us who are Christians, it is not so much how successful we are over our sins. Well, that's important. But because we often are not by our own strength. But the success comes when we recognize that the strength is not from us, but that it is from God. Now, this psalmist here, he was despairing. But we also see that he did something to remove that despair. And that's basically what we want to take a look at tonight. The anatomy of his despair. What is despair? Do we go through it? Why do we go through it? And secondly, we want to talk about to despair. Now, verse 26, right? We will focus on this for the first point. And here we learn that there are three parts to despair. Now, verse 26, what does it say? What's the first thing that fails the psalmist? The flesh. So, When we are in despair, there is a physical part. Okay? You know, when we are in despair, the body weakens, there's fatigue, you know, we don't feel like doing anything anymore. And that's really one of the symptoms of depression, the listlessness, the lack of desire to do anything, right? The feeling that you are completely defeated. Now, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 102. Here we can see from another psalmist how he felt when he went through this feeling of despair. Now, in the title of Psalm 102, you see a word there. How did the psalmist feel? Yeah, I don't have supersonic hearing, right? He was what? Oh, overwhelmed, right? Overwhelmed. And that is a word that talks about how he was completely made empty, right? He was so flooded that he was empty, you know? If you can kind of see that in your mind. Everything has been washed away, right? By a deluge. And we see in verses 3 to 4, how the psalmist felt physically. He says, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I," what? "Forget to eat my bread." You know, he was so stressed and in despair that he had no appetite. Right? Oh, if that could happen to some of us, right? So this was a picture of his physical symptom of despair. Right? He forgot to eat. There was no appetite. Now, the reason for this physical aspect of despair, right? The reason for this is the second symptom, right? And that basically is emotional despair. Emotional despair, spiritual despair leads to physical despair. Now, in Psalm 73, verse 26, what else fails? Not just the flesh, but the heart, right? There is that emotional dimension to despair. Our hearts are, or can be discouraged, dejected, can be burned out. So it's the spiritual, the emotional despair that leads to physical results. Right? And that's why Psalm 102 verse 4, which we read, the psalmist says that his heart was smitten and it withered like grass. And that led him to forget to eat. Now we all get sad, right? I'd be lying if I said I don't get sad. But do we often despair like the psalmist? Now, if you say you often despair like the psalmist, well, that's a terrible thing, right? But some people are prone to despair, right? Right? Now, was David someone who was prone to despair? Well, yes, but then again, David had a tough life, huh? Now, we don't always have a tough life, but if we are prone to despair, it means something, right? Now, Elijah was one who also despaired, right? And especially right after conquering all the Baal prophets, right? Calling down fire from heaven, and after that, despair, huh? But these things happen to these great men. We don't pretend that it doesn't happen to us, but should it happen often? Now, if it happens often, it means that we are weak. But are we weak? Of course we are. But we learn here how to despair, how to remove despair. And so whether we suffer often from despair or not often, we learn a solution here. All right? And what we see, right, is that the psalmist was exhausted. The word faileth means to slowly be drained, to be exhausted, right? And the reason for Asaph's despair was, as we heard just now, jealousy. Now the question we need to ask here is, was Asaph sinning by being in despair? Now we all get into despair once in a while, right? Is it sinful to be in despair? Let me just throw this out. What do you think? What do you think? It's a natural occurrence. Well, so is sin. Yeah? Yes.
But not every day.
Yeah? Yeah. Now, is joy something that is commanded of the Christian? Yeah, right? Do we rejoice naturally? No. Right? So if rejoicing is a command, then is despair, the opposite of rejoicing, a sin? Okay, yes and no. It's not so simple, right? It's both yes and it's both no, right? Right? Despair generally results what? It results from disbelief. Now, let me ask you a simpler question. Is disbelief sin? Ah, okay, there you go. All right, disbelief is sin, okay? But at the same time, disbelief is also a common occurrence for mankind. Do we disbelieve? Is there unbelief in us? Absolutely. Is it sin? Sure, we can admit that. You know, that's why, you know, the man, right, that requested Jesus' help, you know, said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Okay? So disbelief leads to despair. And that's what happened to the psalmist. It was not jealousy per se, but underlying that was disbelief. I look at the wicked. They are prospering. Such, I don't have what I think I should have. And because I don't have what I think I should have, it means that God is not giving me what I want. So ultimately, jealousy is disbelief, right? Ultimately, jealousy is disbelief. It is discontentment with God. Okay, put that on one side of your brain. Let me ask you, did the Lord Jesus despair? Yes, right? Where did he despair? Right, on the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was despair. And was there physical despair? Was there emotional? Of course. What did he say? "I am what unto death? Exceeding full." Right? Right? And there was the result of physical, you know, it resulted in physical despair. So, did Jesus sin? Was it disbelief? Okay, this is where there's that resolution. Despair can be a result of consistent unbelief. Now that is sin. But despair can also be a result of fear, right? And Jesus here, right, feared Now, it was not fear that God could not deliver him, because he knew that God could do all things, but it was fear of his sufferings. You see, this showed the human side of Jesus, but it also showed that he had faith in God. That's why Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Right? You know, let this cup pass for me if you will, but if you don't will, then give me the strength to go through it. Right? So it was not just the part of Christ that led to despair, it was fear. But the psalmist here, what was it? What was the reason? It was disbelief. Huh? Now, in verse 1 of the psalm, the psalmist, you know, has good theology. He acknowledged that God is good to his people. Right? That's what he says in verse 1, right? Verse 1 says, "Truly, God is good to Israel. God is good to his people." But despite this theology, when he did not look to God, but when he looked to his situation, in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Now you might think, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Shouldn't he have trusted in his theology? You know your facts. Shouldn't you trust in your facts?" Let me ask you, do you always trust in the facts that you know from the Bible? Obviously, doctrine doesn't always translate to practice or thought immediately. So the psalmist knew his theology, but in verse 2, verse 3, when he did not look to God, but when he looked at the prosperity of the wicked, that's when he started to despair. Now what is that? In a very simple word, you do not trust in what you know to be true. What is that? Disbelief, isn't it? Right? So the psalmist here, right, despaired because of disbelief. And disbelief and despair is something that will always happen. Now verse 26 does not say, "My flesh and my heart may fail." But what does it say? "My flesh and my heart faileth." They do, right? So this is the anatomy of despair and sinful despair that results not from the kind of Jesus had, but that resulted from disbelief. Now, here we see what he did to respond to his despair. Now, he countered the attack, right, from Satan, right, his despair, with the knowledge of God. He countered it with belief. Now, in verse 26, he says, you know, my flesh, my heart faileth me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Uh-huh. So he countered it with theology. In verse 24, what does it say? Verse 24 tells us, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." And so here, he was allowing himself to be guided by God's word. So the psalmist fought a despair that came with faith. He fought it with trust in God's word. So if we're ever to fight despair, we fight it with faith, right? You know, we must say with our entire being that God is truly good to Israel, to the church, to his people, right? That God is our strength and my portion forever. And we acknowledge that though our heart, our human heart, fails and is failing, but yet who is the strength of that heart? God, right? So despair comes from unbelief, right? Despair comes from unbelief, and so the answer to that is belief. Now when Jesus, we know that Jesus' despair was not caused by unbelief but by fear, but what we even learn there can help us to overcome unbelief. Now in Matthew 26, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he told his disciples that his heart, his soul, right, was very sorrowful even unto death. he was in despair. But his solution was faith. And this Jesus had previously taught his disciples. You know, when Jesus told them that he was going to die and he was going to go away, we learned that the disciples, they were very sorrowful, right? And Jesus told them in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Can you complete the sentence? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, huh? Believe also in me. Right? So that's the only way to overcome despair, right? It is to believe in God. Now, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was troubled, but he fought despair. He told his disciples, the three that he brought with him, to watch and to pray. He asked for their help in spiritual warfare. He told them not to succumb to temptation. And I always think that's a marvelous thing, because I really think that when Jesus said that to his disciples, I believe he was counseling his own soul, his own heart. He was telling himself not to succumb to temptation, right? And then when he prayed, right, his disciples fell asleep, but Jesus pressed on. There was a tenacity about him, as much as there was this desire to give up, this fear, but yet pressing against that. Jesus labored so hard, right? He had hematidrosis, he dropped of blood. It was such a chore for him. He pressed on, and he demonstrated his faith in God, right? He recognized that, not as I will, but as thy, right? But as you will. And so he was putting himself in God's hands. He was trusting in God, though his heart physically, emotionally may have failed, yet God was the strength of his heart, right? And we know that after that, he was sent help, wasn't he? To be strengthened. So when we are in despair, very frequently, our despair is caused by disbelief, isn't it? Right? For many of us, for all of us, right? How have we exercised that muscle of faith? Do we fight despair, or do we just give up? Right? Do we fight it out with the strength that God gives? So the answer to despair, right, is more faith, more trust in God's word. It is submitting ourselves to the will of God. And only when the psalmist was able to do that, right, only when he saw it from a godly perspective, in verse 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Right? Then I understood all. It's only when he counseled himself. And that is why in verse 28, he gives us, right, you could say, right, the final stone that caps his solution, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." In the beginning, God is good to Israel, but I ignored God, my foot slipped. But here, it is good for me to draw near to God. Why? "I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy work." Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. There are so many things that tempt us to lose faith, to disbelieve. There's so many things that cause us to slip in our faith. Lord, help us not to give into despair, but help us, Lord, to be tenacious in believing. Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. Lord, when we fall into such situations of despair, and we will, Lord, help us to cling on to your word, to counsel our own hearts. And we thank you for the victory that comes through that clear conscience and faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.